You're listening to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. Welcome to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. I'm Chris Young from the Northwest, and I have with me nobody.
Richard Beach from the Northwest. Yes, here.
Okay. And we also have
James White from the Midlands Meta.
Nice.
And Toby Nathan from London.
Brilliant. So as you can see, Super Series podcast, that's what the SS stands for.
Yep.
Just so you're aware. So what this is our first podcast here for the Super Series. So what we're going to do, hopefully today, is just do a better intro for the crew. We're going to go through some of the details for the Super Series, and even at the end have a little conversation of our words of wisdom from some of the amazing celebs we have here, such as James. You know, we're lucky to have him. So some intros for the crew. I'll start with myself. As I said, Chris Young, so I'm from the Northwest Meta, Team Inverted. I've been playing the game since Mark 1, and I've played every faction so far, bar Crix. I can't stoop that low. So yes, you'll generally hear me talking like I know what I'm talking about, and getting very passionate about dice on other podcasts. So we then got Richard Beach.
Yep. Again, playing on Northwest, so play out of the War Game Store up on the Wirral with Team Inverted. Currently playing Scorn, previously on Cadle, which I took to OTC last year, and I still consider myself to be an aspiring competitive player. So working on it.
Okay, and James?
Yeah, I've been playing since May 2014. And obviously the same as these guys, just trying to get a bit better all the time. I run a blog about trolls, who are my main love as a faction. I've tried playing men off and it made me miserable. So I'm a one faction man now. And just enjoying it generally, yeah.
And last but not least, Toby?
Yes, I'm Toby Nathan. I've been playing for about probably about 5-6 years down in London. Mainly play trolls. Yeah, just really enjoying the game at the moment.
Good stuff. Okay, so for the premise for the podcast, the idea is this is an accompanying podcast for the Steamroller series. So we're looking initially to run it bi-weekly for you, probably running it on a Sunday, get out for you out during the week. It may change slightly depending on some of the tournament results we get in, if we can get people to come on to the podcast to give us some bat reps and details. But basically, we're here to champion the UK tournament scene. We're going to talk about the events. We're going to bring on qualifiers. And we're going to bore you with all the sort of details on there as well. So one thing we want to do is talk a bit about the origins, where it all came from. So it came from the mad, crazy mind of a certain Mr. Beach initially, I believe. So do you want to go into some details there, Rich?
Well, we obviously, you see the WTC this year, all the England teams did really well, and actually stable base was all the players in stable were really good. So when we came back, obviously we had one objective, and that was to beat the Germans. So we need to figure out how to do that. And some of the conversations we had were around the UK War Machine scene, tournament scene, competitive players, all that stuff. And actually, everyone agreed on a few things. Number one, we've got some phenomenal players in the UK, not just the staples, but also people coming through the ranks as well. Two, the scene in the community is absolutely amazing. So you see some of the events, you see some of the stuff that goes on online. And I think we're in a really good place. But some of the negatives, I guess, around it was that we're quite fragmented. So there isn't a lot. We don't really have a huge amount, even like podcasts like this. We have UK podcasts. There isn't that much of a UK joined up scene. We've got a lot of really strong but kind of isolated matters. So speaking to a couple of people about how can we support the UK scene, and we say scene, it makes it sound like it's serious, like. this is all just the guys, same guys and girls, having fun and playing a game that they love. And that's what we're about. That's what we want to champion. So, so you've spoken to Chris about doing something with media and networks, and it's been spoken to James as well. And I've got chatting to Toby about the Super Series. And after a couple of calls, thought it'd be a good idea between the four of us to get this Super Series off the ground. So what we're looking to do is pull together all these regions, show all the, you know, what's going on in these regions, who the players are, you know, give everyone some visibility in what's going on outside the home patch. And then, again, I guess, overlay that with a national and regional series of finals to go through to a national final next year, which we're already really excited about. We're looking at 32 people. I think we've just about got some venues sorted, and the support has been amazing. It's going to be awesome. I think we've got four streams so far confirmed, and we're going to find out who's the best player, who are the best regions, at which point I'll hand over to Toby, who will say London. But there you go. So that was something to think on it. I think we want to be able to champion that. And I guess for the podcast, in the same vein, it's something I can talk about as a group of players who love this game. You know, what we see is you know, things going on in the game, and give it back to community, and hopefully help people tread the same journey we're going on to improve, enjoy, and you know, just keep kicking on with War Machine.
Cool. So for the first year plans, we have obviously Rich there just mentioned. So a lot of you, if you listen to this, have hopefully already seen the UKIS website, and I love saying UKIS.
Yeah,
some smooches there.
Have you seen Anthony's post about what the people should do to when they qualify?
No.
So this is Anthony O'Reilly from Ireland. He's posted that from base. He said, what should happen is they have to take a selfie with KISS makeup.
I like it.
Yeah.
So we might have to do some of that a long time. This is where I really hope Anthony actually qualifies. we can just send him some black and white makeup.
Everyone will have to wear black and white makeup for the finals. I think that's going to be
The logo should have been a Warjack head with the KISS makeup on.
To be fair, though, Gentleman Jack is a wonderful icon there. I've got to say, absolutely.
This is true. I've actually just got the images back for the trophies, which are very exciting, which we'll post up on the UKIS Facebook and kind of various social media feeds when we've got those finalised, which is pretty cool. What's the actual URL if people wanted to have a look at what's going on there, Chris?
Okay, so we have the Facebook group, as mentioned, and then for the website itself is wmhukiss.co.uk, so War Machine Hordes, UKIS. And on there, you're going to see the fantastic designs and all the guys who've been getting involved. And I mean, I think that's one of the things just to mention. Obviously, it's those four guys on the podcast here, but this definitely wasn't just those guys alone. There's been a lot of input from, we've got like regional guys, we've got people helping designing stuff, we've got people helping with websites. You know, it's all there. And I think that's the feeds back in very nicely to, as we were saying before, the first year plans is that. The way that we see this working is this year's probably not going to be the smoothest of operations, although I think, and you guys probably agree with me, it's gone quite well so far.
I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, it's gone really well. And that's one of the things you'll probably notice is that we're kind of, there's like the areas might move around. We've got the qualifying spots that might move around, you know, different ones from each area. And we've kind of said to all of our regional areas that this year is going to be that area where we're giving people a good bit of, I don't want to say we're giving people, like we're dictating to them, but we're kind of saying this is the year where we get to experiment. If they want to do regional qualifiers, they want to do different types of formats, then, you know, this is the year. Because if we come back and we find out that, you know, one way actually worked really well, or we got our boundaries a little different, or these kind of things, then next year and the years going forward, when even if it's not something that we personally, you know, might be involved with, you know, we could just hand it over, get it more official, and we can have this as a rolling thing each year. So that's the plans this year. It's a bit rough and ready, but we're looking to basically get everyone involved from all the areas around UK and Ireland, get them playing games, playing in tournaments, playing in all these details, and then hopefully get you into a finals. So, Toby?
Yeah, no, just kind of going to echo what you were saying. Like, it's really exciting, and I think it's such a good idea that kind of, you know, Rich and yourself and James have decided to kind of head up and very kindly asked me on board. I just think from a player point of view, and I played kind of semi-competitively, it's really crucial and kind of really, really kind of good for players to travel and kind of test their mettle in different areas. And what you'll hear it kind of mentioned on different kind of podcasts is kind of metas. So it's just different areas where different people play. And I think what makes this proposition and what makes the kind of UKIS so exciting is that we're going to hopefully draw together some of the best, in my opinion, some of the best War Machine players in the world to kind of get us to travel, get us to go and meet and go and play in different kind of areas and go and really experience the fantastic events that we have in our own area, but kind of further afield. And then at the end of it, we're going to have that culminating in a really kind of prestigious event where we can decide who's going to be the best War Machine player in the UK and Ireland in 2018. And I think that kind of idea is really, really exciting, and one of the reasons that I really wanted to get involved. I mean, obviously, I feel that my meta, and I think everyone else feels that their meta is really strong. And I think we're going to have a topic later on that kind of looks at why we think that. But I just think it's such an exciting proposition to be a part of, and echo what you say. You know, it's such a great idea, and I think it'll really develop the game in the UK and Ireland moving forward. But it is early days. And we really just kind of need to continue with the fantastic reception that we've had from lots of other kind of areas and lots of people willing to chip in and help us out, which is incredibly appreciated, all those people. And we can't thank all of them because...
Yeah, over 20 now, so good.
James?
Yeah. Just to echo what Toby's saying, I feel even for the people that aren't going to win the tournaments, just the fact that, you know, you might be holding a UK Super Series event at your location, like, you know, your local meta, and players from around the country might be coming, and you'll get games against good quality players at your local store from people all over the, you know, the country, you know, and that's just wonderful. Like it's going to help everyone at every level, because, you know, that at the end of the day, the best thing you can look at is, you know, quality games. Like, the way you get better at this game is quality games, and that's what you're getting. You're going to get more quality games held at tournaments near you, you know, and hopefully, you know, the further you go, the better you'll do. And it's just, I think it's wonderful in that regard. It should help everyone at every level, really.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to be really, we've been, you know, the first podcast, be really professional, but oh my God! It's amazing! Oh, we're going to have people all over the country. They're going to be playing games. There's going to be like a spreadsheet. There's people going to be playing in a final. Wow! Oh, it's so good. I'm so excited for this. Like, with some of the stuff that we've been seeing across like the venue, and Toby's mentioned prize support. See, you know, the logos. I've got 3D animation of Gentleman Jack that Tom Wiggins is running on. So it's just like, it's amazing. And I genuinely think with this, a last couple points for me on the overall thing, for the season pros, you know, this is a great opportunity to, I guess, you know, prove that you're top of your game and really help your local community grow, and also test yourself against those other regional champions. If you're listening to this as like fairly new to the game and things like that, like when you first start War Machine, it could be quite daunting. But I mean, just locally, we've had some guys been playing for like, you know, 9 months, and they're really starting to smash it already. So it's great. So yeah, you speak to anyone who's been on like WTC teams or won events, and when they started, this was just like a game that they played. Yeah, it wasn't, they didn't go into it and be like, oh, I want to be the best in the world. Yeah, but it's amazing that you can get so into this game. The community is so there. Yeah, it's there to help. I genuinely think that the people that we've got within the UK at the minute, the people who are coming through, the people who are playing, I genuinely think will win the WTC over the next couple of years. I think we've got some of the best in the world in our stable at the minute. So really looking forward to seeing them smash each other over a table.
Just to reiterate that point as well, one of the things I think, and this is kind of separate to the Super Series, which I think is going to be hopefully one of the benefits of it, is like we mentioned, you're going to get these top quality players, you're going to get people that potentially, you know, you'll be like, oh God, if they turned up, then we're just not going to win. But that kind of thing is like, I always say like there's a little story I have, like Michael Dick, we know Michael Dick, he's a really good player on the format, he just smashes people as he comes across. I am undefeated against Michael Dick, just so you're aware. Okay, just so you're aware is that I played him when he first started, and at the time it was just, you know, random nationals game, and I beat him, and I probably didn't even know what I was doing at the time, but I managed to beat him, and I've never played against him before. And the reason why I've never played against him, sorry, again, is that I'm just not at his level. You know, he's always ahead of me, he's always at those top tables, he's always, you know, smashing people, so I just don't get to see him. So I've managed to keep that record, and obviously that's not the reason why you know, he's never beat me. But what this means now is that you're going to get these people that you might never actually see on those top tables, and because instead of it being a 128 man event, it's going to be like your local 16 man event, you're going to get to play these people. So yes, they might smash you, but you're going to get to learn from those games. You're going to learn, you know, against these opponents and against these lists that you may never see before. And the other side to it, even better, is that yes, we've got our own set sort of structure for the events and the ones that are the qualifiers, but there's no reason why you can't then be like, oh, hang on, we've got this qualifier coming up, you know, why don't we run our own, you know, get some games in, get, you know, play some other games, play some tournaments, you know, you could play it whenever you want. We're just kind of arranging this specific series, and what we hope is that eventually you're going to end up with, you know, loads of end up with loads of events going on around, and that's only going to make things better. And then hopefully Michael just comes to my meta and smash me, and then I can't brag about it anymore. So okay, so that's our first year plans. One other thing just to head up, if I don't know if one of you guys want to go through this, so it's the different formats in the regions, if someone wants to take that.
So maybe I could jump in here, Chris.
Yeah, go for it.
So there's a couple of different formats. So at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but we have 9 regions from across the UK and Ireland competing for places, which will feed them into the UKIS 2018 final, at a date and venue to be confirmed, but we're looking at around November time.
Yeah, third weekend of November next year, hopefully, just finalising venues.
Yeah, and so the different areas at the moment, there's a number of different people involved, and obviously kind of logistics, numbers, etc., kind of play into exactly how they've chosen to kind of put their qualifiers together. But one of the examples that we're running in the London Super Series is we're going to have a number of feeder events. So we've already had one. And from that event, there's a number of qualifying places, and that will qualify you for the regional final. And from the regional final, most regions have between, you know, 2 and 4 places for the UKIS final. So you'll have a regional final in this particular style of doing it, and then that will feed you into the UKIS final. So in London, there's a kind of a number of qualifying events for a London final, of which the top 4 players will get a place to compete and probably win. But it's really nice that other people are coming as well.
Yeah.
James, do you want to just like go, just we're talking about the regions, do you want to just give a quick overview of those regions for us?
Yeah. We currently, I'm going to see how I can do this with no practice. So we are looking at Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Northeast England, Northwest England. We are looking at the Midlands. We are looking at Southeast and Southwest. Although Southeast calls itself London, I think. Is that right? Or is it London
South
separate?
East and London. And
London. Oh, okay. They get 2 regions, do they? 2 regions for one. Okay, that's fine.
Wow. South East is covering like Cambridge, Rochester, onto there. So, London's London, Brighton.
So is Toby's strategy in the final to just flood it with London players so that, you know, he definitely gets to win? is that what we're saying?
I believe so, but obviously at this early stage, you know, we're still confident that, you know, they may get some qualifiers, but they still won't win it, so it's fine. Qualifying 12 scrubs means that just 12 scrubs go out first round, so, you know.
Yeah. This is where we tell Toby that Pat's actually planning on qualifying through Ireland as well.
Yeah. just to make you guys aware as well, if you want to see the details, because obviously there's a lot of information and we can't, you know, read through it on here, if you go to the UKIS website or to or through the Facebook, there is a button on the top right hand corner. It's the qualifiers. That gives you a breakdown of all the current qualifiers. That will be updated as we get the info. So some of the, not all of them confirmed, the dates and the places, but quite, we're getting quite a lot of the information in now. So if you're interested in traveling and going to other areas, you can get in touch, and we can direct you to the right people, the right dates, and then you can see if you can be one of the UK's best or UK and Ireland's best.
Indeed. So I think that's the most of the bits on the Super Series for the first year. Overall, if you're listening to this, if you just could get behind it, that would be awesome. So you know, we put this thing out there. We want to get it off the ground. It's for the community. So yeah, all support's appreciated, and it's been massive so far. It's been huge. So very excited.
Yeah, we've also just reiterate, so we've got the Facebook page. We do also have a Twitter account. Which we'll try and get all of the Twitter details, or tweet out any of the information and details on there as well. So if you want to follow that on Twitter to make sure you're following, that is at @doyoumhukiss. And you'll see probably one of us just tweeting out the various information, and you can send us abuse or retweet our fantastic tweets there so the rest of the UK community can follow along with you guys. Okay, so the other thing to just cover off as well before we go into our topic of the week is what are our plans for future episodes. We're looking to... sorry, hang on one second. Yeah. So what we're looking to do is to go into each of the regions, talk to the regions for their plans. So we're going to get the regional representatives in. Go through some of the details. We have got, we're going to bring in the qualifiers, the people who've qualified. Unfortunately, due to timing and because they went a bit early, we do already have a qualifier, don't we? Are we going to?
Yeah! First one into the final.
First one into the final, should we do a little drum roll? And so, who is our qualifier?
It's Ryan Evans.
No surprise there, then, really.
He's pretty good at this game. Yeah.
So we'll bring, hopefully we'll start bringing people on, give you some details of the event, and so that'll be things to look forward to in future episodes. Okay, so
what else are we going to talk about then when we're all together?
Well, we had a couple of ideas, didn't we? But you ruled over us with your iron fist, Mr. Peake. So do you want to introduce our topic for today?
I think today, Ryan Evans very helpfully put up a post on a breezy Sunday morning just on the Crix and Signar in the meta and how they're getting on, and it absolutely blew up. This is on the War Machine and Horde's UK Facebook feed. So I think he was feeling that, you know, if the question was if anyone wants to know if the Crix okay, and much salt ensued, which is great. So I thought it'd be good for us just to talk about what are we seeing on the competitive scene. You know, what are we working on? And that kind of gives you a bit of a flavour for how we're going to be approaching the segment of this podcast, which is more around, you know, what we're doing.
I think Toby just fell over. We apologize.
Are you right, Toby?
You really think you need more wine?
Yes, don't worry. In all future episodes, we will try and get Toby to fall over mid-podcast.
Yeah, good. So just going through what we're seeing. So, James, do you want to kick us off? Because you've been changing faction. Or no, you're on Trolls, so I think you're pretty settled. Me and Chris have still trying to figure out what's doing on new toys. What are you seeing in the match at the minute? And what do you think of the Crix and Signar, and what are you taking for, etc.?
So, like, Trolls have a lot of tools. Like, there are, like, while they often ask one big question, can you crack X armor, they also have a lot of tools, and a lot of that, but, you know, you don't always take all of them at once. So, like, the stone is huge. Like, stripping stealth, stripping incorporeal. Like, if we're talking about Crix matchups especially, that's really, really useful. We've got the theme, Band of Heroes, which has got RFP. these are the kind of things you need to be looking at. You need to look at what tools your faction has and then see how you can build around it. And I think you've got to say to yourself, can I build a pairing that covers most of the matchups you're playing against? And can you answer these specific questions? Because the reason that Cricks are perceived as good is because they ask questions. They're not answering everyone else. They're asking a hard question and saying, can you answer this? And if you can, you don't win. We have a 50-50 game. And that's what it feels like to me. I don't know how you guys feel.
From my point of view, I've just moved to Scorn last couple of weeks. So I'm on to like game 14 with Scorn now. So still very early days. I think for me, looking at a faction with fresh set of eyes, the one thing that's apparent is that I'm spending a lot of time actually looking at the tools in the faction and what I can do into certain lists. And to understand that, even though I've just moved faction, I'm spending a lot more time looking at what's going on in the meta. So like with Cricks, everyone's obviously concerned about Denny One and Fleet and things like that. But actually looking at kind of what are those types of builds that are coming out and what the tools. It's like, you know, you just said, James, like, okay, there's going to be incorporeal, so how can I deal with that? And it's been, I feel like, almost slightly a bit of an advantage, really, coming to a faction fresh and just being able to forget what the net lists are and all this type of stuff and just experiment. Experiment with lists and just see what are the tools that I've got and how can I put these together and does it work at the table. And that's been really good fun. I was playing Kador and I think I was a bit stuck in quite a limited view. I've been playing the same lists for most of the year. I knew what they were good into, knew what they weren't into, and I kept on trying to like tweak those lists to deal with new problems. And maybe I should have just started from scratch. But anyway, Dean out of school, and that's really good. So certainly thinking through how to deal with, I think on my hit list, there's like the Haley 3, Nemo 3 pair. So there's definitely that, or the Cricks questions. I think there's definitely ways to do those. Like, everyone's got lists that can deal with Cricks. So definitely some of those Cricks problems. Obviously, Trolls, you've got Magic 1 and Cold Grimmer. And even though these are all really powerful lists, I mean, this is one of the reasons I love the game. It's like this puzzle that you need to figure out. And I think it's why the game is so rich, is you've got this matter that changes. And something that's kind of helped me, certainly earlier on in the year and last year, get over that frustration. So I met Will Pagani at Moot. And one thing he said after seeing all the CID feedback and all of the tournaments he's been to is just don't give up. Because he felt like a lot of people would approach a game, and this is back in the Haley 2 glory days, and they'd say, yes, you were strong, yes, you was, question mark problem. But people just hit the table and just give up and just tilt. And they wouldn't. And the people doing well are people who, they just play their own game, do what they do well, ask questions and put pressure on opponents. So that's what I'm trying to do with Scorn. So I'm playing some net lists that are working really well. And then I'm also experimenting a few alternative casters that's quite good fun. So currently on a big Mordekaiser kick. That guy's awesome. Love him. Yeah, so that's me. Toby, what are you up to?
So I continue playing Trolls. I played a really small amount of Scorn early on, but then I've played Trolls for the past kind of 5 years. It was actually just the point you made about not giving up and actually approaching it. And I think this is something that is really useful in terms of not becoming overwhelmed by the game. So I think we all appreciate it's a very difficult game to come into. There's lots of things to learn, and there's, I think, lots of people have spoken in depth and had some really good kind of salient points about kind of the levels of learning in War Machine. But I think one thing that I see, and I think is applicable and incredibly useful for everyone at every level of the game, is when you approach the game, like you said, your opponent is going to have a problem for you, or there is a solution to the problem of this game that you're facing. And it's the player who can figure out the best fix to that problem, the best solution to the problem, that's going to come out on top. And I think you can always kind of worry about other things, other variables. But actually, if you approach it by understanding, what the question is and what the kind of riddle is, then you stand yourself in a much better stead. So there are always kind of, and there have always been kind of perceived problematic casters in that their ability to ask and answer questions are, when combined with what their faction offers, are much, much, much kind of easier to tap into. But actually, I think it's a really, really valid point that it's in terms of how you understand it and how you approach it that makes you a better player. So you can approach a game, and if you've clocked on to the fact that the other person has certain advantages because they're able to do things or ask questions that you're not, whether that's threat range, you know, whether that's a really powerful feat, whether there's a spell that's actually going to impact on what you want to do, what you can do, you always have the opportunity to understand that, and it's those kind of deep critical kind of thinking and approach to the game that makes you better, and it allows you to kind of think about these things, you know, slightly deeper, and the person who comes out with the best solution is usually the winner. And that's why I think the game is so good, because it allows you to really kind of think about something and approach it in a very kind of critical way to try and achieve something, which, because the ultimate, you know, goal is to kind of win and have fun along the way. But it rewards you for kind of understanding the questions being asked, and if you've missed them, then it very quickly comes unravelled, which is why I think it's such a really kind of good game.
No, definitely. I think that's something that hopefully we'll go through in this podcast and focus on, is that way of thinking about the game and improving. So I think it's what people get fun from. Like when you solve that puzzle, when you figure that out, you know, and done those, it's great. And also away from the table, when you're thinking about what you need to do into certain challenges and what you can do differently, how you can play differently, etc. I think for me, it's one of the big, I guess, learning points in the game, or like aha moments, was going from just kind of putting a list together and going, I've got this stuff here, and if I do this, and this, I get to a power 28 colossal. If I do this, and this, I've got armor 22 things for one turn. And just everyone focusing on building lists, rebuilding lists, trying new casters, trying combos. And it just, you know, and it gets you so far. But when I started speaking to people like Pat, like James, like, you know, Chris, and in fact, everyone on this podcast, and all the people on the WTC team I was on, like, the how they think about the game is completely different. It is like, yeah, this matchup, this is what happens, and this is how it works, and these are things that you try and need to figure out how to engineer with or deal with at the table, this type of stuff. So I think much more about the game holistically in terms of you playing your opponent, as opposed to, I've got this toolbox of things, I'm going to keep trying to build a different list and do all this shit and put it on the table and then hope that deals with things. And I feel like if you engage with that, it's a really rewarding process to go through, and it's a great way to improve as well. Because also you start having a lot more agency over the game as well. It's no longer, I put this list together, it's supposed to be amazing, I got smashed, the game's broken. It is, I tried these things, it didn't work, but that kind of did, so maybe I'll explore that a bit more. And I really like that. So hopefully we'll be covering that a bit more on the podcast as well.
Yeah, just from my perspective on that, it's kind of like I've had a weird sort of like Nevada moment over the past year in War Machine. Like, I've been playing for a long time, and I kind of was very much in that, you know, you make the list with the tech, and the tech you put against your opponent and you win. But going to all the places like IMU, talking to Pagani and talking to people like Pat and stuff when we went to the WTC, like the way they see that game, the way the game works is really... it's very different. As you said, you know, it's great having the power 8 million attack that's, you know, going to auto hit and kill anyone. But if it can't get there, or if it's easily killed, or you can play around at positioning, then it doesn't matter. And that's kind of been the main thing. Is that the other side to it as well is, and especially in the Signar and Crix side of things, is understanding that, you know, we talk about meta and we talk about these lists and we, you know, we talk about the way the world is, and we're very connected with the podcasts. You know, everyone hears, as soon as someone wins anything somewhere in the world, suddenly that's across the podcast, across the internet, on the groups, this list is broken, you know, this list wins. But it could be that actually, and I kind of see this with, you know, you see the Circle groups. So Circle in America are complaining a lot about Kador and the massive amounts of Jack spam. And we were like going, yeah, but we don't use massive amounts of Jack spam in the UK, or at least, you know, maybe 8. You know, there was never that 10 Marauder list that we really saw out once the Mad Dogs went away. And it was like really confusing why, you know, that was there. And it was because in the UK, we had people like Pat, we had people with those Rhett and stuff like that, that were just, you know, pushing these Jacks around, winning on scenario, and just weren't killing them. They just weren't bothered. They were just keeping them away, winning on scenario and being like, brilliant, you've got, you know, 300 boxes, doesn't matter, I don't need to kill it, I just push them all around, kill one or two of them, and win on scenario. And it's just that kind of like, in your area, you might realize, you might think, oh god, the game's broken, but actually it's just that possibly the, you know, your boogeyman just doesn't have its natural sort of predator in the area, and when you start thinking about what you're actually playing against and what's in your area, that actually massively changes how the game works as well. So yeah, and experience is massive, like we were talking about the trolls. So that troll matchup, a great example with the Grimkin, is that I played into that troll matchup against Madrak 1 with my heretic list, and I was like, okay, so this is how the game goes. I do this, this, and this. He does this, this, and this, and then I can get around it, and then I win. And then I went to Blood and Oil, played against Tom Wiggins, who ended up, you know, best in faction for trolls anyway. You know, let him climb over me, obviously. But straight away, he kind of read through the details and he went, oh, okay, so I know what he does, so I'm going to play it like this. And so he played it completely differently. And so there I am on the spot, having to figure out how to do it, and I didn't figure it out. So therefore, he just battered me. And it's like, that's part of the game that people forget as well. They go, oh, I played into it once and it smashed me, so it must be broken. And they don't think about the fact that actually you might have the list that beats it, but you have to have the list that beats it, that you do it correctly and that you play it correctly. Because if you don't play it correctly, you lose. But if you play it correctly, you smash them, but you've not got that experience. So people don't respect experience. They seem to respect dice more than experience and practice with lists and stuff. So, yeah. So, James, you know, just any thoughts on that or...?
Yeah, especially because you finished on the dice, which is really useful. So that's where I wanted to head a little.
Yeah.
I often feel that when people lose games, they're looking to blame the list, the faction, OP, anything, you know, even the dice, anything apart from themselves. And I want you to think, when you lose a game, think of the best player in the world at your faction. And there's someone pretty famous in pretty much any faction in the game. And then you think about that and say, do I think that person would have lost to my opponent in the exact same situation? And you go, of course they wouldn't. You know what I mean? They're not going to lose to some local down my club because of dice or, you know, because of the matchup or anything. They figure out how to play around it. And so that all that says to you is that you could have played better. And once you put the onus on yourself and you say, the problem is me, the problem is not all these outside factors I can't control. You know, you can't change the list once the list has been picked. You can't change, you know, the dice that are rolled. You can just change the situation you can control. And so take the onus on yourself, take responsibility, and at that point you'll get better, because no one ever got any better at a game of War Machine by losing a game and saying, I should have rolled a 9. like no one. Like that is not how you get better at War Machine. I know it might feel good. Oh, God, I rolled 3 dice. I should have got a 5. Doesn't happen. If your game, if every game you play, you know, revolves around rolling a boosted 5, then you're not playing as well as you could be.
Have you just tried rolling those 9s though, James? It's much easier.
I mean, it's all well and good of saying this, but you know, we practice what we preach. So I just mentioned in that game, James mentioned there, when I played against Tom, he was apologising later in the game because he was rolling on his, what they call retaliatory strikes. And his weapon masters were just blowing stuff up because he was rolling really, really well. And he was like, I'm really sorry, mate, you know, sorry for rolling well. And I was like, no, it's fine. And, you know, when I talked about people, and he would always be like, oh, yeah, I just blew him up with the dice. And it's like, no. Like, I have to focus on the fact that I totally couldn't unpick his plan, because he changed his plan on me from what I thought. And it was the fact that I failed to, you know, get around that made me lose. Yes, you know, the dice didn't help and it just buried me quicker, but what will make me a better player is the fact that I recognize that he outplayed me. And then yes, the dice didn't help, but you know, it's the fact that he outplayed me is the reason why he won. So I think that's one of the things that I've started to do. I've really started to try and like move away from the dice and things like that. So sorry to butt in there, James, I'll let you carry on, but I just wanted to give a real life experience of that.
Sorry, before James jumps in, just on that point, I think that's an incredibly good, because I think it's always useful to think about examples when you're talking about things, because otherwise it's all just in a vacuum and it's completely obscure and nobody knows. You can always kind of dojo in a vacuum, and that's not very useful. But in that situation, like for example, when you play that matchup again, Chris, because you know now that retaliatory strike is only, you know, have to hit, which you can't really get around with the champs, but they've only got a 1-inch. And if you've gone in with something with a greater melee range, then you just stand outside their melee range and hit them.
Yep. or I make sure I kill the hero first.
Or you kill the hero first. It's that kind of level of play. It's approaching it, realizing that you're not going to do X and Y because it'll come out badly. So it's kind of going back to what we were saying. It's looking at this proposition, looking at this problem, and thinking, okay, if this is what's going to happen, what do I need to kind of to second guess? To kind of preempt that and make sure that it's not an issue when I do this. So I think it's a really good example. I think it's something that everyone can do, and that's much more useful. Is kind of when you're going back to a game, is thinking about the things that you could have done differently, rather than the things that were out of your control. You can't control what your opponent's dice were, but you can put yourself in a position where they can't roll those attacks, or you've killed that piece because you've put redundancy into your plan. But go on, sorry, James, you were going to say something.
No, definitely. I think what's really important there is, as well, what we're saying is you play a matchup and you go, oh, but actually you countered what I was doing in your example with Tom, Chris. You find someone that counters what you're doing, and you could literally just look at it and go, oh, my list doesn't work the way I was supposed to, and then go back and scrap the list and then build another list. But really, like, if you just take it on board and the next time you play, you take it into consideration, that's how you get nuance in a matchup. That's how you learn it, because when you've played it four or five times, then suddenly you're starting to realize. And I mean, I play trolls a lot, where you have a lot of feats that basically just say, come into me, and then don't kill any stuff, and then lose the game. I do that a lot in trolls. Mm-hmm. And you play against some players, and they'll just do it, and they'll walk in on your feet turd, and they'll kill nothing, and then they'll just kind of sigh and look there and go, this is overpowered. And you play a good player, and a good player will just sit back and throw meaningless stuff at you, and then say, I'm going to come at you next turn. And it's just stuff like understanding matchups. Everything in this game is playable around. You just need to learn it. And even a bad matchup, you can tweak it, and you can try and get the best out of what you've got. And even if you can't turn it into a winnable matchup against a really good player playing that, you could probably beat a poorer player playing the same list, because you understand the little nuances, and you understand where you can get a little extra edge.
Yep. Sometimes not losing is good enough to win, right? Like, just staying in the game. Like, I've seen people quite often snatch defeat from the jaws of victory just because their opponents catch level head. And it happens. So it's something that I think a lot of people do, is just play the first couple of games at local club, go, oh, this looks really bad, let's call it there, get another game in. There's a lot to be said for that kind of late game experience. Certainly at WTC, like, most of my games went to bottom of seven, and they were still very tight bottom of seven. Kind of losing on army points and things like that. Stick in there, guys.
Yeah, I think just because I love my analogies and stuff like that, I don't think any of us here ever, it's like a weird thing we have with War Machine. We kind of expect just to know and just to be great at something straight away. But I don't think anyone here took one lesson to drive a car and could drive straight away. If you got in a car, you tried to drive it, you stalled, you went, oh, cars are OP, you can't be driven. Pointless. I want the stick. Yeah, cars are OP. It's like, no, you go, oh, I did it that way and it didn't work, so I'll try it this way. And then eventually we all drive. I mean, some people, mainly BMW drivers, obviously cheated and they're the Cricks players. But, it's that kind of thing. Like, I think, and I am 100% guilty for doing this. And that's the kind of the big epiphany I've had over the past year, is kind of thinking differently, is to actually think, hang on, it didn't work first time. Why didn't it work? Let's ignore those dice, because most of the time it's not going to be dice. As I was talking to the guys earlier, and I said, most of the time you might be like, oh, I didn't get that boosted nine, James. But, they ignore the fact that they lost a heavy for only two guys. They killed two guys and lost a heavy. That actually probably has a bigger implication later on in the game than the fact that you missed that boosted nine and stuff like that. So, yeah, so... Anyway, that's the kind of we tangented slightly there on the Cricks Signar thing, but I think the point we were all getting at is that yes, some stuff might be seen as OP, but generally we think it's actually more to do with experience and how you use your lists and your experience with your lists and your
yeah list. No, totally, Chris. I think they have some really good tools, and I think part of the problem is that they ask quite different questions, and I think. List pairings and that kind of when you're dropping your list is a different topic, but they're able to kind of craft some very different list pairings, and I think that's what gives people difficulties. But just like Rich was saying, I think you need to persevere because actually in this game, yes, you can completely table your opponent, and that'll mean you win, but you can also win on scenario, and you can also win on the kind of the calling of time. So there's lots of different ways, avenues to win, and all of those are kind of further kind of complicated by the different kind of terrain and all these kind of variables that makes each game quite unique. And that's the way, that's the best way to kind of approach it, because yes, your opponent might have an advantage, but if you can get a couple of points up and your particular army is very robust or very quick, you can flip it on them, and it's on the onus on them. So there may be some armies that are kind of easier to kind of pose these questions, but I still think player skill, kind of dictates usually who wins the game, or player understanding wins out.
Yeah, I think that point is one we talked about a bit earlier as well, is that floor and ceiling, which is kind of a thing I don't know if anyone plays like MOBOs, League of Legends, that kind of thing. Like, that's a term that's used a lot for their champions, is that they say, the floor and ceiling. And the premise of that is that the lower floor is that, yes, and not to disparage you Madrak 1 players out there, because there is a lot of nuance to it, but the floor, so how easy it is to just get in on the ground floor of that champion is, I would say, initially quite low, because you can sort of tell to someone, when you play him, what you do is you run your guys forward, you cast this spell, everyone runs through each other, so it's fine about positioning, and therefore the floor to get in is quite easy. Whereas I would say the floor of someone like KD3, where you're like, okay, so you've got to do this in this order, do this in this order, these have got to go here, these have got to do, so if you were thinking teaching someone new how to use that army, Scar 1 in Mark 2 was the best example. Like, literally, I remember one of the girls at the Welsh was given a flowchart, and she'd not really played before. She knew the basics, and she was given a flowchart, and she actually won a game through using a flowchart of how to use Scar. Whereas the ceiling is like how good you can get. That's actual fact. The ceiling is how well you can get with that character. So yes, we go back to Madrak 1. You initially just go, oh well, he's dead easy to play. But actually, the way that you play and the way that you move, the positioning of all those medium bases. Yes, you can go through each other, but how your opponent gets to you, the order of activation you do things in, what types of there's like so much that puts a new player to a good player.
Chris, like Madrak 1 is that easy.
but that's the other thing, is like if you're in your local meta, and this is something to be really cognizant of, if you're in your local meta and you go, right, I've just started with Crix and I've just started with Circle, let's say Crix and Circle, not to point out anyone in particular. So for example, when you're first starting playing Denny, they'll be like, okay, so what I need to do is I need to walk forward, I need to save feet, I need to cast some spells, so I need to remember to boost them, and then I'll just charge my stuff and then kill you. And you're like, yeah, brilliant. So that person is going to be much easier to start doing those really effective things quicker. Whereas the circle player might be playing Wormwood, and they'll be like, okay, so I come forward, I save feet, and I cast some spells. And they go, yeah. And he goes, well, he trounces me the turn after. And you're like, oh, Wormwood must be shit. And you're like, hang on, no, Wormwood isn't, because once you get, once you start to learn that, you can start doing weird pulls, you can do Hellmouth triggers, you got your soul thing. And it's not to say the Denny player won't get better quicker, it's just what happens is if anyone's running a race at the same time, all they see is that Denny player chasing off into the front, and they're like, oh, well, obviously she's broken. And it's like, well, she's not broken, she's just, to get some work out of her is easier quicker than the other casters. Whereas eventually, once you get all those, when we're talking like WTC and stuff like that, you have people that didn't even take Denny because they were like, well, when you play these matchups, I don't need Denny with the way I play it. And it's like, okay, if they obviously want to take the best, if they were OP and couldn't be beaten, then why aren't they taking the things that are OP and couldn't be beaten? Is the kind of the questions you need to look at from that side. So
that's why I'm all gonna smash you with Mordekaiser, because he's super, super high ceiling, that guy. Yeah. Give me good decades to try and learn how to play him. I'll be there in Mark 17.
Right. So anyway, I think that's been a good introduction episode. We've done some intros of how it's all working, and we've had a brief little topic on our personal growth, I think, and why you shouldn't be too salty about Crix and Signar at the minute. Just go out there, smash them, and then you can just talk about how obviously they're OP, but you still smash them. That's the thing to aim for, isn't it? So
yeah. It's great. When I had a brief stint of time playing Hayley 2, and every time I lost the game, I did feel like I should commit ritual suicide and just fall on my blades. Like, how have I lost? How? Yeah. Sudoku. No, that's Sudoku. No, it's not Sudoku.
That's another thing. Seppuku. I have dishonored my family. The order is 319245.
Oh my god. So every time you lost, Rich, you decided to play a numbers game.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. Sat there. My parents thought I was a real prick. I sat there. They're like, you just beat me with Hayley 2 and they just sat and got paper out. Don't know what that guy's doing.
Right, so as we said, I hope to get another episode out in the next 2 weeks. So topics for the next episode, Mr. Beach?
Well, we've got a couple floating around. I think one of the things that we want to do with this podcast, going back to that, promoting some of the awesome local talent we've got, is see if we can get some of the qualifiers or even some of the regional champions on. To talk through either a faction focus or also a bit of what they do locally. So Ryan Evans won the first qualifier yesterday, so he's first into the national final, which is great. And so we might see if we can get him on a Diaries tie up. If not, we've got a long list of them we speak to our factions. So we're going to see if we can do a bit of a faction focus and get some of the locals on. And that's something that's going to be common with this. So we've all talked as if we know what we're talking about over the last 50 minutes. You'd figure out very quickly that we don't.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So what we're going to do is get people who do know what they're talking about onto the podcast, and then we can ask some challenging questions and make it sound like we have some sort of insight into the game. We'll try and make that next time.
And if you've got any interesting world puzzles, if you send those in as well, we're going to be losing a game.
Yeah. Any good Sudokus or anything like that would be great.
Well, I mean, obviously we expect Rich to lose a lot, so you're going to need to send in a lot. So.
maybe like a book of them.
Through one a week maybe. Right then, and don't forget you can contact us through the Facebook, which is, it's all at WMHUKISS. So you can get to us on the Facebook, the Twitter, personally through Facebook, myself and the guys, I'm sure they'll be happy. If you've got any topics for us that you want to discuss, we're kind of trying to focus on the Super Series itself, but we'll always have a bit of time just to do any sort of pertinent topics we feel are there. We're probably not going to cover things like news and stuff like that, because I'm sure you get it told to you 20 times a week if you are a regular listener to podcasts. So with further ado, is there anything else before we sign out, guys?
Not for me, just massive thanks for the being on board, the response so far. I've actually been really excited about it, and genuinely like pretty, I want to say moved, that might be a bit strong because we're all, you know, big burly men and all that. But I've been seeing just the response from everyone. We've been getting messages in about how people can help, some ideas, and we'll do a full list of what people have been doing on. I hope you'll learn more about what people can do in the local matter, not just at the table, but to get people to the table, to make the community what it is. But that has been amazing. Yep. So thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to next year. Really looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Goodbye for now.
Catch you later, guys.
Cheers. Bye, 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 bye. Beat him round one. Dice the fuck out. Scrub.